Great. Well, I think we'll get going. Nice to see one or two visitors here this morning. Hope you can stay for lunch. No shouting for this bit, all right? I've got a picture here, little quiz here. Who can tell me who is the smiling man in the middle? So it said, got it, yeah. Fabrice Muamba. Those of you, is that how you pronounce it? Yeah, thanks, Johnny. Yeah, I was just a bit worried there. You said it a bit quick. I thought I'd been practicing that name wrong. Okay, my talk today, I've got my notes on my hand, Sousa style, and I've got the right glasses on. This guy here in the middle, those of you who are football fans, I believe there are one or two here, could hardly have missed the dramatic events of March the 17th, which was the FA Cup quarter-final between a certain Tottenham Hotspur and Bolton Wanderers at White Hart Lane. This man, Fabrice Muamba, started his football career at Arsenal. I'm sure Ben will, yeah? And went on to eventually play for Bolton Wanderers. In the middle of this game on March the 17th in this FA Cup quarter-final, this guy is a great player. He fell to the ground, hit the ground with a bang twice, and was out completely cold, and his heart stopped beating. And there was an incredible hush fell over the ground, a lot of distressed players and people. The medics gave him shock treatment on the pitch, but they couldn't get his heart going. They administered CTP in the end for 78 minutes before eventually, having got into an ambulance and got to hospital, they finally got his heart going. Obviously, they were extremely worried, A, that he would live at all, and B, whether when he did eventually come round, he'd suffer from brain damage. 78 minutes, I'm not a doctor, but I believe it's an extremely long time not to have your heart beating. The chap on the left here was a Spurs fan, we'll forgive him that, but He is a cardiologist who was also a Spurs fan, and he rushed out from the crowd when he saw what was happening. He said to his brother, you know, shall I go and help? So the stewards led him through, and he rushed onto the pitch, and he was a cardiologist, and he helped to save Fabrice's life. The guy on this side here, on his left, on our right, was the heart specialist in the hospital that looked after him. The good news is that, incredibly, after 9 days, he left hospital both alive and in a remarkably good state. And this guy on the left, he said in an interview, if you're going to use the term miraculous, it could be used here. Muamba, as I said, was discharged 9 days later. The FA Cup quarter-final that day was abandoned, and the players left the pitch in shock. Watching it that day, the thing, and in the subsequent days, what amazed me was the reaction of the players on the pitch, other football players, the football fraternity around the country. There's a picture coming up here of a certain Raphael van der Vaart, one of the Spurs players, on the pitch at the time. And the instinctive reaction of many people, whether they are Christians or praying people, is to pray in a dire emergency. And this was a picture taken of him on the pitch. There's another one of Gary Cahill, who's an England player, now plays for Chelsea. I think he played for Bolton before. So he would have known Fabrice. And he, after scoring his goal for Chelsea, you know, as they do, tore back his shirt, and underneath he's got their pray for Muamba. And that was echoed around a number of football grounds as everybody was praying for this man in hospital who was unconscious. It shows that there remains in many people that instinct to turn to God in desperate situations. later, Mwamba, after he came round, the cardiologist incidentally went up to him, and I don't know whether this was the first words, but first, certainly some of the early words, he went up to him, the Tottenham supporter, came back to the hospital to see how he was doing, and he whispered in his ear, "I hear you're a famous footballer." And Fabrice Mwamba whispered back, "I try." Apparently, this cardiologist was fighting back the tears that he could actually come round with a sense of humour, you know, after that that amount of time without a heartbeat. And so Mwamba said later, he said, "I'm walking proof of the power of prayer. For 78 minutes, I was dead. And even if I lived, I was expected to have suffered brain damage. But I'm very much alive and sitting here talking now. Someone up there was watching over me. On the morning of the game, I prayed with my father and asked God to protect me, and he didn't let me down." The reason I thought of this story as I was preparing my talk this morning was I felt to talk about prayer and the importance of prayer. And prayer really is the heartbeat of Christianity. It really is the thing that pumps the blood around the body of Christ. It pumps the life around. It is very, very important. If you want to find out whether a person is alive, I suppose you could check their breathing, but one of the things you'd also do is you'd check their pulse, wouldn't you? And you'd see if there was a heartbeat. And if there was a heartbeat, there was a good chance that they would live, and certainly that there's a very good chance they're alive. If you want to check if our Christianity is alive, then you check our prayer. If you are praying, then there's a good chance that you've got a relationship with God. A church that doesn't pray, an individual that doesn't pray, their Christian life must be very weak indeed. It's a good measure of our life. It's not all. Some people might pray a lot in a religious way, and it wouldn't be necessarily a measure of their Christian life. But I think that prayer is generally a good measure of where we are with God. Where are you and I this morning in relationship to prayer? How much do we pray? How well do we pray? One of the things I want to say this morning is that prayer is not easy. The moment you say prayer, it's one of those things that people kind of freeze. Oh no, that's the thing I know I ought to do and I find so difficult. Because we have a devil that is against us. We have our flesh very opposed to prayer because prayer is so important. But if we are to go anywhere, the first thing we must do is acknowledge where we are in order to get somewhere different. I want to really encourage you. I want to share my own testimony to do with prayer and how excited I am about praying. I don't find it easy. Sometimes I find I get up in the morning, I don't want to pray. But I know enough to know that prayer is important, and however I feel, I must pray. I must pray. And I found that prayer is a very exciting thing, and so I'm going to share a little bit about my own testimony. Where are you? It may be this morning there are some people here who utter a few words of prayer as they go out to work in the morning, and maybe at night they mutter a few words before they go to sleep. It could be there are other people here this morning who spend a regular time with God every day. When I became a Christian, the day I became a Christian, age 17, the vicar that led me to the Lord said, "Every day spend 10 minutes with God, praying and reading your Bible." And I found 10 minutes hard. Even though I was excited about God, very excited, I found the prayer thing didn't come so naturally. But I developed, right at the beginning of my Christian life, I developed a habit of prayer. And it is a very good habit. We should have a habit of prayer. Jesus, it says of Jesus, as was his custom, he went away alone into the mountain and prayed, as was his custom. There's nothing wrong with customs. There's nothing wrong with habits that are good and godly. You may be feeling bad already, but the purpose isn't to make you feel bad. The purpose is to help each and every one of us go a little bit further this morning in prayer. We may not be able to jump from A to Z, that we're praying all the time, But maybe this morning we could each one of us in our hearts determine that we will pray a bit more and a bit better. I think we can all do that. As I said, most of us know that prayer is important, but that doesn't necessarily make it easy to pray. I looked up the main word used for prayer in the New Testament this week, and I found that that one word is used 111 times. It's a Greek word, and its root meaning is to wish towards. To wish towards, expressing our desires to God. All day long, we have different desires. Desires for this, we want that, we want to go there. And yet we don't actually get that desire as far as taking it to God. But prayer is mentioned, that word prayer or pray is used 111 times in the New Testament alone. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is this. For Christ also, if you could put this one up, if you can find it. Christ also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. I love this verse because this verse tells me that the very purpose of Calvary, the very purpose of God sending his son into the world to take our sins and to die on the cross for us, he shed his blood to bring us to God. Not just to save us from God's righteous judgment, but from God's angle to bring us to God, to bring us back into speaking terms with God. The purpose of the cross is that we can again have a conversation with God. We are reconciled. We who were enemies with God by his blood have been made friends with God. Jesus has paid such a price for us to be able to talk to God. Let's make the most of it. The reason that I can go to God in prayer and talk to him today is because I go by the blood. I don't go because I feel good. I don't go because I am good. I go because Jesus has shed his blood. And there is a way open for the whole world can pray today because Jesus has shed his blood. When you wake up tomorrow morning, the blood of Jesus has already been shed for you so that you can go straight into his presence boldly and pray to God. God loves to hear the sound of our voice. The Song of Solomon, the bridegroom says to the bride, "Your voice is lovely." I do believe that when we pray, God loves to hear our voice. Do you find that when you pray, God responds and sometimes you feel his presence? He draws near as we draw near to him. Why? Because he loves our voice. He loves to hear us pray. God has made prayer the means by which we get things from him. It says in the letter of James, "You do not have because you do not ask." James 4:3. That's a simple equation, isn't it? You do not have because you do not ask. How many things we could have if only we ask God, but we do not have because we do not ask. I wanted to just emphasize quickly before I go on talk about why I personally am so excited by prayer. Just something that really emphasizes the importance of prayer. You know, Paul the Apostle, when he writes his letters to the Ephesians, the Philippians, the Romans, the Colossians, the Thessalonians, often at the end of his letter, he writes like a little shopping list. These are important things. Love one another. Be hospitable to one another. Pray. It's always in the list. When he wrote to the Romans, Romans 12:12, it says, be devoted to prayer. Anybody been watching the Paralympics? I've found the Paralympics incredibly inspiring, really so inspiring. And the devotion of some of the athletes, and the Olympics too, the devotion, they don't get to run that fast without being devoted to their cause. There was one Paralympic table tennis player, and as I heard him talking about another ping pong player, and he said, oh, she's amazing because she trains for 6 hours a day. table tennis. Can you imagine? 6 hours a day, day after day after day. Devoted, utterly devoted. Oscar Pistorius, anybody watch him run last night, the 400 meters? Why did he win? He is devoted. He is utterly devoted. The swimmers in the swimming pool, every athlete that won was devoted to their cause. The Bible says that we should be devoted to prayer. 3 times it says in the New Testament, be devoted to prayer. It says we should be devoted to one another, but we should be devoted to prayer. 3 times. That means dedication. It means priority. It means it's important. When he wrote to the Ephesians, he said, pray at all times and on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. Wake up, stay alert, and be persistent in your prayers. Don't give up. Philippians, when he wrote to them, he said, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Everything. We can pray about everything. That's the way we pray. As I'm sitting at my desk, I've got a decision to make. I pray about it. I'm going to meet somebody over a cup of coffee in a few minutes. I pray about it. I don't always pray about it, but I found that I'm praying about it a lot more than I used to. When I first became a Christian, there was a kind of thing in the charismatic movement going around, you know, it's like you're too cool for school. Too cool to pray. It's religious. Don't pray too much. That's religious stuff. No, that's bad teaching. The Bible says, pray about everything. Enter in her classroom, praying as she prepares her lesson. Praying as she is in the classroom. Praying as she is in the playground. Pray, pray, pray. Pray about everything. Don't worry about everything. The solution to anxiety and worry is prayer. I'm so worried about this. I'm so worried. I'm so anxious. And yet you haven't even prayed about it. Don't worry about anything, it says. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then he goes to the Colossians. He says, devote yourselves to prayer. There it is again, with an alert mind and a thankful heart. How many of us actually fall asleep in our prayer time? Wake up. Wake up. I found recently that God's been pulling me up on my attitude in prayer. Even at the prayer meeting on Tuesday night, end of a long day, you know, come to the prayer meeting. Yeah, God, you must be really grateful that I'm even here. And I'm kind of coasting through the prayer meeting. But the Bible says we have to be alert, awake. We need to take prayer seriously. If you find it hard to pray lying down in bed, get out of bed. Don't even pray lying down in bed. Okay, maybe if you're going to sleep, your first waking thought, but get out of bed and pray. I pray on my knees quite a lot because I find it keeps me awake. I sometimes sit cross-legged with my back against the bed because it's the only way that I can stay awake. When my mind is full of other things, I'll go for a walk. Walk up and down the room. Go outside. Get some fresh air. Walk and pray as I walk. Find any way you can, but wake up and pray. Pray with a thankful heart. What a great way to start your prayers. Think, oh God, what can I pray about today? This prayer thing. What do I do? Well, start just by thanking him for everything. Thanking him for the body that you are in. Thank him for the breath that you breathe. Thank him that you are standing on this globe that is spinning in space at an incredible pace and you don't even know it's happening. Amazing. The gravity keeps you in place. Thank you for the gravity, just that it is, as it is, so it doesn't, I don't lift off the ground or I'm flat on my face. Thank you for the gravity. Thank you for the difficult things in my life. Thank you for the things that you have put in my life to face today. Thank you for the food. Thank you for the drink. Thank you for the fresh autumn air. So many things we can thank you for. It's a great way to start with thanksgiving. And then Thessalonians 5:17, just in case there's anybody here that thinks they've made it in prayer, Paul throws this one in at the end. Pray without ceasing. Pray in the morning. Pray at lunchtime. Pray at night. Pray as you work. pray all the time. And I believe there is an attitude of prayer that we can have where we can actually carry that. We may not even be conscious of praying, but there's something all the time, you know, going on in our hearts towards God. It's something to aim at, to pray more and to pray better. God is a rewarder. God is a rewarder. Hebrews 11:6, the Bible says God is a rewarder. He is a rewarder of those who seek him. Some of the necessary things in life, God gives us a desire for. God knows that it's very important that we eat. And so he's given us an appetite. God knows it's very important that we have relationships with people. And so there's a desire in the human heart for fellowship. Many of the things that God wants that are good for us, he gives us a desire for. God is a rewarder. He makes prayer good. I enjoy praying. I don't always enjoy it at the beginning, but I always enjoy it afterwards. I'm always glad that I did. And sometimes as I'm praying, I enjoy God's presence, his peace, his joy. God will always come to us as we pray. He is a rewarder. Matthew 6:6, it says, when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, pray to your Father secretly, then your Father who knows all secrets will reward you. He sees you praying. Maybe nobody else does, but he will reward you. That's a promise. He will reward you. One of the rewards is just knowing God. Perhaps that's the greatest reward of all, just knowing him. Paul said, oh, that I might know him. Those that know him want to know him more. The second one is having our prayers answered. How wonderful. If anyone's read the biography of George Mueller, he kept a list of all the things that he prayed for. He wrote them all down. And as they were answered, he wrote them all down. And they went into thousands. Thousands and thousands of prayers in his lifetime. And he said that most of them were answered the same day. And even, I'm sure you know the story that he had a list of people who weren't Christians that he was praying for. He prayed for them diligently. Every day he brought them before God. And there were two people on his list who didn't become Christians. And as he was buried at his graveside, those two men were converted. What a man of prayer. Amazing. Having our prayers answered. The thing that I wanted to just share this morning, and it's something that I've often talked to Bob and Paul about and a few different people, it's my experience in my business. I'm glad God's given me a business to run because it's really hard. Every morning you wake up and the people are there. You know, the situation is that it won't go away. Usually, often if you're self-employed, you can't take the day off so easily, can you, Chris? It faces you all the time. It challenges you. And I've had to find God through my business. Sometimes it's been extremely tough, extremely difficult. When I got involved in business, I had no idea how tough it was. I really didn't. I don't know whether I thought it was all Cuba Libras and, you know, getting everybody else to do the work. But it didn't turn out that way at all. It's very hard work. And a passage I've turned to many times over the last 25 years in business has been Psalm 107. Maybe we can bring it up here. I'm going to read it out to you. Just imagine that you are a sailor in a ship and there's a storm. Why don't you close your eyes if you want? You don't have to if you're scared somebody might like do something to you as you're there with your eyes closed. But I'm just going to read this out to you. Just imagine as I'm reading it that you are on the waters. Psalm 107:23. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they have seen the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he spoke and raised up a stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They rose up to the heavens. They went down to the depths. Their soul melted away in their misery. They reeled and they staggered like a drunken man. And they were at their wits' end. And how many times we've been there. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distresses. He caused the storm to be still, so that the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they were quiet. So he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. You can open your eyes if you've got them shut. Your risk time is over. And nothing happened, did it? You had nothing to worry about. Those who do business on great waters, this is what it's like. Sometimes the waves seem so big. But it's the same, we've all got things in our lives that the circumstances, they seem so big. And then sometimes, you know, you get your prayers answered and it goes right down. And then before you know it, there's another situation, it's so big. And your heart is melting within you, and you're kind of reeling and staggering around like a drunken man. You're punch drunk, it's so hard. I've had that. Many times in business. It's been so hard. I thought, I don't know what to do. I don't know how I'm going to face today. I've got this and this and this, and I haven't got the answer. God loves that. It's called Wits End Corner, where we've got nowhere else to turn from him. And if you're one of these people that doesn't pray much, I may warn you that God is very good at arranging a circumstance that brings us to our knees. I suggest we pray before then. And when we get in that situation, that we pray quickly and we pray well. Because God gives us situations to drive us to himself. So don't be worried if you're reeling and staggering. And you're at your wit's end, because it says they cried to the Lord. If you read that psalm, many situations, it says they cried to the Lord, they cried to the Lord, they cried to the Lord. And again, it repeats in this psalm, and he answered them, and he answered them, and he answered them. And God has answered dozens and dozens of my prayers as I've come to him when I've been right at wit's end corner. He hasn't yet brought me to the desired haven in my business, but I'm on the edge of the promised land. Amazingly, with God's blessings, we think that God's blessing means that everything's fine. And yet you find that God blesses people in very difficult situations. Do you remember Joseph? He had these wonderful promises over his life. He had this dream and he told his brothers and his mum and dad, fantastic, you're all going to bow down to me one day. They weren't too thrilled. His brothers tried to kill him and he ended up in a prison in Egypt. And he was there for several years. First of all, he was a servant to Potiphar. And while he was in prison, while he was a servant in Potiphar's house, who bought him as a slave, God blessed him. He was so blessed while he was in that place of slavery. And then something went wrong and he ended up in prison. And it says, and God blessed him in prison. The children of Israel were 40 years in the wilderness. And God blessed them in the wilderness. He didn't take them out of the wilderness. He was dealing with them in the wilderness. There was a lot of things that had to die in their lives. And so the wilderness dealt with them. But while they were there, God blessed them. And the good news for you this morning is that in your situation, however bad it is, God may not quickly bring it to an end, but he will bless you in your situation without necessarily bringing you right out of it to the end. And we need to ask him for that. There's a verse in the Bible that says, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? I know that he can. When I started business, it was 2 years, about a year and a half before the last recession. Forget this recession. How many of us remember the last recession? That's when I started, had a great year, and then bang, we had bad debt after bad debt after bad debt. And I didn't know much about business. I really didn't. What I want to say at the beginning, as I share this testimony, is that it's good to be wise in business. I've got some great employees. I believe in good planning. I believe in working hard, but I also believe in prayer. Because there are some things that can happen in the economy and in your business that you have got no control on at all. I also believe that God is very good at clearing up our messes. I've made some bad decisions over the years. Sometimes I should have worked harder and I've been lazy and I've cut corners. And God has trained me and dealt with me and tried to get these things out of me in the business. I've done nothing perfectly. I really haven't. And I'm amazed that I've actually got through 25 years of business and the business is still going. It's God's grace. It really is God's grace. Anyway, we started in 1989. The London print company started up, and the recession blew in, and it was a dramatic recession, and a whole lot of businesses were just wiped out. And the print industry had its own challenges at that time. People were doing less printing. And we were in central London too, where the costs were very high. So, on every count. I remember one day, my son was in hospital, having a very serious operation, age two. Jo was incapacitated and she was at home. I was in the hospital and I had checks on the business that were bouncing. And I was, oh God. I don't know, even if I've got the energy to pray about this. I felt so knocked out by it all, but I kept praying. I remember going down and crying in the Royal Free in the chapel there. And God was so good. He sent the help. He sent the people, and he sent the money as well. It was amazing. In those days, a guy turned up, a guy I'd known a few years ago. He didn't turn up. He lived in Scotland, and he sent me a big check because I needed a big one. And he said, I'd heard, I've no idea how he heard, that you were in a bit of trouble and thought this might keep the bank manager at bay. Praise the Lord. That day I had to pay the staff and I had nothing to pay them with. And so I went in, I banked the check and I could pay the staff. It was that close. And a number of times over the years, it has been that close. 30%, the statistic is, of new businesses fail within 2 years. So that's a good statistic, isn't it? In 2008, in this recession, that had increased by 30%. And by 2009, it had increased by nearly 80%. And printing in particular was under a lot of pressure. So it was not easy. And but God has always been good. 2010 came, our business was wounded and limping. We really were. We just didn't know what we were going to do, and we were thinking we need to try and get a loan from the bank. But as you know, the banks haven't been very keen on lending money unless it's a good business, unless it's the kind of business that doesn't need a bank loan. But there we were. But I'd learned that we could turn to God, and we prayed. And every day we pray, and every day we have prayed. And I've got my friends to pray, and all sorts of prayers have gone up, because I know it's good to be persistent in prayer. In October 2010, is there that graph up there you could just show? This is my sales. I thought you might like to actually see it. And this is the beginning. This is where we were really in trouble. And this month, November the 10th, one customer came in and said, I wonder whether you can do this job for me. And I said, yes, I think we can do that. In that job was worth 3 months worth of work. And we were right there. We just so needed the work at that time. And that did me for 3 months. And I thank God. A little later on, later the next year, you can see that even with that, things are looking pretty bad down here. This red line, by the way, that's where we need to be okay. And the good news is that since January, thanks for your prayers, that's how it's been. And I'm really grateful to God for that. But I see God in my statistics. I look at that graph and I said, that's where God did that. That's where he did this. A little later in early 2011, we were advised to go to the landlord and to ask for a rent-free period. I really went there thinking, okay, we are really going through the motions here. But we sat down, we talked to them, and they said no. We got an email the next day saying, thanks for meeting up, but I'm sorry, we've spoken to the owners, and the answer is no. And later that week, we got a credit note for 6 months' rent. I don't know if they changed their mind. I don't know what happened, but we got 6 months, and that is an awful lot of money. And it is just what we needed. It was just what we needed at the time. This summer, August is, for many businesses, it's a bad time. And with the Olympics happening, despite all the hype about it being good for businesses, for business to business in London, it was not a good time for businesses. If you were selling hats and flags and food, maybe. But business to business, it was not a good time for business. But we got a call from a Brazilian company from Brazil. Could you quote on this job? They wanted to print a newspaper for 17 days of the Olympics. And I thought, okay, we'll give them a quote. There's not much chance of us doing this, but we will. They met with us. They liked us. And we got the job. Well, that job was worth at least half a month's sales. And it just carried us right through the summertime. It was just what we needed. We got another rent-free period from the landlords. We went to them and we said, we've become a limited company. Would you mind if we change the lease and put it in our name? They said, well, we'd actually like to change the lease a little bit. Was no problem to us. And they said, in exchange, you can have a three-month rent-free period. Woo! Didn't ask for that one. In January this year, we were just under where we needed to be. But sorry, in December, an old friend of mine who got me into printing, and I thanked him for that, many years ago, rang me up and said, I'm going to finish my business. When are you going to finish it? Like in 2 weeks' time. Do you want to buy my business? Well, I said, I'm sorry, I don't have any money. But let's see what we can do. Thought about it, made him an offer on a percentage of sales. And he said yes, and amazing. So that brought our sales up by about 15% from January. It was exactly what we needed at the time, and God knew that. I didn't ask for it. I didn't advertise for it. It just came to me. These rent things, I didn't actually even think that we could or that we should ask. They just came to me. Last week, out of the blue, we got a letter from the rates evaluation office. And they said, your rent has been estimated too high. We'd like to reevaluate it for you. And that was worth about £7,000. And, you know, even though we've pulled back tremendously because of the recession, we had quite a lot of backlog that we've had to deal with. And it was like the icing on the cake. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amazing. And it really is all credit to him. When the business is going well, it's very tempting for me to think, you're quite a good businessman, Nick. It doesn't take long before something comes along to prove that exactly the opposite. But it's so important that we give credit and glory to God. You know, there's a verse in 1 Corinthians that says, what do you have that you did not receive? What have you got? What have you got? Are you intelligent? Who gave you that intelligence? Are you beautiful? Who gave you your beautiful looks? Are you well educated? Who gave you that education? Who gave you even the breath that you breathe? What do you have that you did not receive? We must give God the glory. The end of the Lord's Prayer, it says, thine be the kingdom, the power and the glory. The glory is his because it's his kingdom and it's his power, isn't it? All of it, it's his, and we must give him glory. So God is very good. Psalm 107, 28 to 31. At the end it says, let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. Very quickly, that's me done, all right? I hope I've encouraged you to pray. It's great to have answers to prayer. How can I pray? She told me she was going, it's all right. How can you pray? How can I pray? How many of us find it easy to pray? Not many, I would think. Making it really simple. This is one way to think about it. Joy. Joy. It's a joy to prayer. Jesus, others, you. When you start to pray, just start to thank him. Start with Jesus. Thank him for what he's done. Think of things that he's done for you. Think of things that you have. Start to thank him. Start with Jesus. Then start to praise him for who he is, that he is great, that he is merciful, that he is compassionate, that he is slow to anger, that he is full of loving kindness, that he knows everything, that he is everywhere, that there is nothing that he cannot do, that he is holy, that he is love, that he is faithful, that he keeps his promises. And by the time we finish praising him for who he is, our prayer starts to become enjoyable and effective, and we have faith. So start with Jesus. I'd like to say then go to yourself, but actually, the order of the Bible is that when we've prayed, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," we start to pray that his kingdom will come. Start to pray for other people. Start to pray for salvation. John Wesley's, one of his favorite verses that he preached on very often was Romans 14:17. "The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." So we can start to pray for our friends, pray for our neighbors, pray for the people at work, pray for Alpha. Pray for the kingdom of God to come into their lives. Pray for salvation to come, that the unrighteous will become righteous, that will receive the gift of righteousness, that they would have peace and joy in their hearts. Pray that in the end, the whole of the earth would be filled with the glory of God. But pray for others. Pray for others and pray regularly. Joe and I pray every day. Probably at least 5 days a week. We've got people on our list and we pray for them. We pray every day for those people and for these things, because I believe there is a persistence about prayer. God does not get bored when we pray about the same things. It says pray and go on praying. Sometimes we should just go on praying for something until it happens. The thing I've been telling you about this morning, it's a 25-year-old answer to prayer. I've been praying for that business for 25 years, and I haven't given up, because I believe in prayer, and I believe in persistent prayer. Jesus, others, you. What I've shared with you this morning is the you bit of prayer. I'm amazed how delighted God is to answer our prayers. Oh boy, how much he loves answering our prayers. Raywin, I know she's not going to share her testimony this morning, but just this week. Do you mind me saying this, Raywin? Okay. Because Raywin lives in the same house as us, we are aware of her needs. And one of her needs was for a job. So we were praying with her. And I just felt in my heart that maybe God wouldn't give her a job before her current job ended, that he had something else for her. And so it was hard to pray, "God, give her a job before the job she's doing comes to an end." And the job came to an end, and there was no job. But because of that, Raymond will testify that she had to find trust and faith and peace in God. So when the job ended, she could say, "Thank you, Lord. Here I am at home. What's your plan?" Well, a couple of nice days off. And then she got a job in a few weeks' time. And that gives her time to go to New Zealand for a couple of weeks and see her family. And the day that decision came, she got a check in the post for £500. Hallelujah. Our God is so good. He is so kind. We don't know how kind he is. It's amazing. Give us today our daily bread. He loves to answer that prayer. He wants to give us forgiveness, but we have to ask him for it every day. He wants to give us strength in temptation. He wants to protect our lives. So start praying, Jesus, others, you. I use the Lord's Prayer. I'm not going to go into it, but I use the Lord's Prayer all the time. I have prayed the Lord's Prayer hundreds and hundreds of times, and I've understood it this way and that way, and every time I look into it and I use it, it seems to mean something different. Jesus said to them, "When you pray, pray like this." That's a good recommendation for a model for prayer. The last thing I want to just say this morning is tomorrow morning, make a decision, or maybe pray a prayer this morning, that God would help you to pray more and to pray better. Start your training tomorrow. Start your devotion. If you're a person who doesn't pray very much or hardly at all, why don't you start praying for 10 minutes a day? Read a bit of the Bible. Go through the Jesus Others You. Just start thanking God and praising Him. Think of a couple of people you can pray for and pray for your daily needs. But do it every day. Every day, every day. Do it in the morning. There's no point in praying at the end of the day when the day is gone. Pray in the morning before it starts. I can't see the point of not doing that. Maybe you're the kind of person that's already got that time with God. Pray in the middle of the day. You got a lunch break at work? I actually recently have there's a church across the road from us, St. Giles's Church. It's an old Anglican church, and in the daytime, not many people go there. Occasionally, I find a tramp lying underneath a pew there, but it's nice and quiet, and I've started to go in there and pray. And I just think, right, I'm going to pray for 10 minutes of my lunchtime, and I'll pray about something very specific. And I found that it's helped me to start praying, a different way, a bit more. Pray at the end of the day. Switch off the television. Pray instead of the news. Or even if you find it hard to pray instead of watching the news every day or watching your favorite soap, why don't you just read your Bible for a bit? It's not that hard to do if we're going to take God seriously. And then finally, pray all the time. You know, it's actually not that difficult when you're sitting at your desk and there's a problem on your email. Could you help me with this? You got a meeting to go to, you don't know what to do. God, could you help me with this? People, difficult people in the office, could you help me with this? Just all the time, take those things to God in prayer. Let's pray, shall we? Amen, would you mind? God is very gracious. Very gracious. And He knows that we are dust. He knows our struggles. He knows our failures. He knows we've tried and it didn't work. But God is so good at just dusting us down, washing us in His own blood, putting us back on our feet and saying, come on, Nick, have another go. Father, I pray this morning that You would help us to pray. Thank You for the disciples that they came to You and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Father, we pray that this morning. I pray, Lord, that You would give us a spirit of prayer. Father, as a church, I thank You for what You've done in our individual lives and in the prayer meeting and the different prayer meetings and times of prayer that go on around the church, formally and informally. Thank You for what You've done, Lord. But we pray for more. Father, we pray for more. Would You help us with this? In a moment, we've got some lovely lunch, and I hope that we can stay for that, and we'll thank God for that. But why don't you just find somebody near you, a couple of people if need be, and just say, what can I pray for you about? And having prayed that God loves to answer our prayers, let's just take that opportunity. Maybe you might also want to say, or say instead, I find prayer really difficult. Could you pray for me that God would help me with this? So let's do that, shall we? Finish with something practical. And then we'll thank Him for our lunch and tuck in.